agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Big year. I'm starting middle school.
Welcome to the jungle, Missy.
Best part? My parents promised me a new laptop.
Perfect for homework, essays, and drudgery.
So we went to Staples. They had all the latest tech, and laptops were up to 40% off.
Woo! Another back-to-school budget saved by Staples Easy Button.
Mom high-fived the cashier. So embarrassing.
Staples.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. In Z23, select models only.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An ultimatum from the U.S. chief executive to the Russian president to get a peace deal with Ukraine by 10 days from today.
And then, you know, we're going to put on tariffs and stuff, and I don't know if it's going to affect Russia, because he wants to obviously probably keep the war going.
Mr. Trump to reporters aboard Air Force One coming back to Washington from Scotland. The gunman in yesterday's New York City skyscraper mass shooting had two mental health crisis holds in Las Vegas in 2022 and 24, say two sources to ABC News. Prices will go up next month on many items made by Procter & Gamble, which makes Tide, Crest, Charmin, and much more. Though it makes most of its products in the U.S., P&G cites tariffs on materials it imports from China, adding $1 billion in costs. Former Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirator has appealed to Congress for a pardon or immunity before she testifies. A House Oversight Committee quickly gave her a flat no. This is ABC News. The heat wave continues for 165 million Americans. There's a threat of storms in the Midwest, says ABC News forecaster Kenton Gawicki.
Expect some damaging winds possible for your area. So that entire area from Billings down to Des Moines, you are under threat today for damaging winds, maybe some hail, but also flash flooding is a risk for you, too.
Increasing supply and slowing demand finally causing housing prices to cool, says ABC's Jim Ryan.
The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index lags by 2 months, so the latest figures are for May. The seasonally adjusted price of a home in 20 surveyed cities rose that month 2.8% from May of last year, slowing from the 3.4% annual gain in April. Analysts attribute the declining rate of price increases to stubbornly high interest rates.
After chasing and stopping a boat for more than 12 hours, Dominican Republic drug enforcement officers say they discovered 1 ton of cocaine aboard it. Three Dominicans and one Colombian were arrested. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Find what you love and love what you find. A Total Wine & More, the place to go for sipping rosés with seltzers on ice, making margaritas with your favorite tequilas. It's warm out, let's go. Our prices are low on spirits, beer, and wine. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
When you first saw her, she was out walking her dog. You didn't notice her at first. But when you finally did, it was too late. Because at that moment, you were speeding. She was out walking her dog and only had a second to let go of the leash. Your foot was on the gas and her life was on the line. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. One last potential candidate for Wisconsin governor.
WisPolitics reports that a source close to Democratic Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski says she's ruled out a run for governor, but is seriously considering a bid for lieutenant governor. She'll make a decision in the coming weeks. Governor Tony Evers announced last week that he won't seek a third term. Godlewski was elected state treasurer in 2019 and was appointed by Evers to the secretary's position in 2023 after Doug La Follette stepped down. Godlewski dropped out of the campaign for U.S. Senate in 2022 before endorsing then-Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, at which point her term as treasurer was expiring. Barnes went on to lose to Senator Ron Johnson. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign immediately following Evers' announcement. To Republicans, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and CEO and former Navy SEAL Bill Berrien are also running. Governor Evers says his administration remains committed to closing Green Bay Correctional Institute. In Appleton Tuesday, Evers says he can still complete that even though he's not running for another term.
What we can do is say, this is what's going to be closed, this is what's going to be open, this is what we're going to do here, here, and here, overall goals. That's something we can get accomplished.
A Portage County man accused in the deaths of his parents is being held in a high cash bond.
35-year-old Jacob Schulfer had his bond set at $2 million on Monday as investigators say he shot Paula and Dale Schulfer on July 6th at their rural Portage County home. He was then shot by officers as they responded to the scene when he refused commands to drop his weapon, an action that an internal investigation showed was justified. He was discharged from the hospital over the weekend and immediately jailed. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More and more sunshine today, but still hot and humid. High temperatures spike to the upper 80s, and it'll really be feeling more like the mid-90s. Got a chance for a spotty shower or a brief thunderstorm early this evening, otherwise holding off on rain until tomorrow. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, 82 degrees.
Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome in to a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you with us for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. As always, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities, followed by a look at the latest CoBank quarterly report with Rob Fox, director of CoBank's Knowledge Exchange. He'll join us in segment two for a conversation, a broad look at things in farm country. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to discuss the news surrounding U.S. beef access to Australia, along with other trade news and more. Kent Backus, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, will join us. Then we're going to close the show in segment four and talk more trade, specifically the U.S.-Japan trade deal and access for U.S. rice. We're going to get perspective from Kara Genovesius, Trade Director for USA Rice. She'll join us for that conversation coming up later on in the program. So, again, a lot to get to here today on AOA. Let's get things started. Joining us here on the show as we take a look at the markets, Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. Don, it's been too long. Welcome back to the show. Hope all is well.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be back. Thank you.
Well, I know you just returned from a trip to the Arctic, I believe. And, you know, everyone's been talking about how good the corn crop looks here in the Midwest. How was the crop conditions in the Arctic, Don?
Well, I tell you one thing, you've got a lot of rugged, tough people up there. We have a lot of rugged, tough farmers, too. So, yeah, a different perspective, you know, raised a lot of fish up in that area. So, yeah, it's I can report that, Jesse.
Okay, all right. Well, I had to have a little fun with you for a minute. Let's talk about these grain markets. You know, everyone continues to talk about for the most part, crop conditions just look really good across a wide area of the Corn Belt. Now, I know we had some severe weather. Sounds like a potential derecho moved through parts of northwest northern Iowa last night and parts of Minnesota and more. So we're going to probably be assessing some damage from that. But you got quarter beans that are kind of just stuck in this feedback loop of doom, it seems, here, with nothing really moving them to the upside, Don.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at it, Jesse, you're right. You know, there's some chatter about the storm that moved through derecho, if you will, in some areas. We'll see what kind of assessment we get on that. Just remind you, when we had the derecho in August of 2020, it was about a week delay before it actually took hold on the markets and people assessed it better. So going to take a little while. We'll see if it's anything, if it's a market mover. Meantime, I think the real issue, Jesse, is we just have a big crop in the oven here as of right now in the U.S. We're competing with Brazil's huge corn crop on the export front. They're well into their harvest is the issue, so we're competing there. You're competing with Argentina that lowered their tax, so export competition there. And still concerned with these tariff talks, you know, with China. So I think it's just one of those that this market is trying to get to contract lows in the Dease corn, 410.5 now, that's 407.5, led by the wheat market that also is trying to get into contract lows as harvest there is 80% done and got within about 2.5 cents of contract lows there, Jesse. So I think that there you go. I think that's the issue, big crop to little of demand.
Seasonality, isn't this kind of a window where we can tend to make a quote-unquote harvest low in the grain trade, Don?
Well, you know, you talk about the seasonalities. Actually, the seasonalities have been negative the last 2 weeks on corn and soybeans, and it certainly feels like it. Those seasonalities do end, just like you're alluding to, August 1st on corn and August 3rd on soybeans. Then a lot of times what you do, you're down to a low enough price that you kind of measure, you know, you've digested a lot of news, and do we need to make another leg down, or do we run into some artificial support by just the farmer? Plain and simple, at these price levels, does not want to sell corn. So we'll see. But as of right now, Jesse, for the long term, September corn has had a low today of 489. So on a continuation chart, that is where the Dease wants to go, and it's about 410.25 right now. So it's these carries in the market that if you don't improve, get sucked out. So we need a bull story before we get too far into that continuation charts, Jesse.
Yeah, we're talking with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities. U.S.-Chinese officials have been meeting overseas the last couple of days here. It seems like, you know, we've gotten a lot of these trade deal frameworks, but none of them have really moved the markets. You mentioned the demand side of this. It seems like that trade is really waiting on something from either China or maybe even India, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what's your take on just this trade picture right now overall?
Well, so far what we've really had is it sounds better than it actually is on these tariffs, because what we've had is framework deals, you know, and nothing really of real substance is the problem, and nothing really for agriculture. Here's just an example. The UK, we had a tariff deal May 8th. Well, I mean, we have nothing has happened since then as far as the details. China, it looks like we're going to get kicked down the road 90 days the way it is right now. And then, of course, you know, we have Russia seems to be a thorn out here where something's going to happen there if the war doesn't move into a different direction. So uncertainty, and the uncertainty, I would say, right now is more negative than it is positive, just because these tariffs going into effect, for the most part, not really much chatter on the ag sector.
What's your thoughts over in the livestock complex right now, Don? I know there's been a lot of talk about the cattle complex and the continued high price action there and some volatility. You got hogs with that August contract set to expire soon with a pretty sharp premium to the October. Any thoughts for you in the protein sector right now?
Well, you know, I think when you look at it, the hog market, probably the fourth quarter, this summer rally, very typical. You use these summer rallies, which we've had on lower numbers, by the way, due to disease, I think it is, you use to get the fourth quarter sold. So fourth quarter's under a lot of pressure here today. Probably the air's getting thin up there. The cattle market, Jesse, is truly an all-time bull market in the cattle. Packers losing about $250 a head. He ultimately is in control, but it's when does that end is the thing. I think the cattle market will end probably sooner rather than later, and we've dialed in some big bull news, and it's probably expansion started, but the real bull underneath this market is this futures market cannot crack until the cash market cracks. And the cash market doesn't crack until the feedlots start to back up cattle. So that is a process that takes a little while. I imagine it's occurring, but it just takes some time. Technicals are positive, but you're looking for a blow-off top in the cattle for Jesse to put in a historical type of high.
USCommodities.com for more information. Don Rose, always good to hear from you, Don. Thanks for joining us on the show. Have a great week.
Yep, thank you, Jesse. Appreciate being on your show. Thank you.
Don Rose with U.S. Commodities joining us on AOA. Up next, we'll talk with Rob Fox from CoBank. Back with more right after this.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Hey y'all, Eli Winders here. I want to take a minute to talk to you about something close to my heart. There are thousands of animals out there waiting for someone just like you to come along and change their lives. Don't worry if you think you might not be the perfect match. There are shelters and rescue organizations full of folks ready to help find the right pet for you. Visit your local shelter or check out online rescue groups today. You never know. Your new best friend might be waiting for you. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Think back.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, a shrinking labor force is one of the top headlines out of the latest quarterly report from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange. We're going to talk about that and take a look at some of the key stats and more from the overall report. Joining us now on AOA, he is the director of CoBank's Knowledge Exchange, Rob Fox. Rob, welcome to the show. It's great to talk with you. Hope all is well.
Thanks, Jesse. It's great to be here.
Well, let's start with this labor piece. I know this was one of the key items that you guys highlighted in this latest quarterly report. And, you know, Rob, there's been so much talk in the news about the labor force, you know, just broadly across the U.S., but even with the ag sector, the immigration policies that we're seeing from this administration, et cetera, et cetera. So walk us through what were some of the top headlines when it comes to the U.S. labor supply that you guys found?
So this has been a topic I've been studying for the past 4 years, and I used to kind of make it the centerpiece of my presentations on the general economic situation. But what happened is we had this huge influx of immigration from 22 to 24, roughly, that put the labor supply issue a little bit on the back pages a little bit. But the underlying fundamentals have always been there. So the problem here, in a nutshell, is starting around the global financial crisis and huge recession that we had with that, in 2007-08, thereabouts, the fertility rate in the United States has plummeted since that time. It was at that time about 2.2%, which is, 2.2 children per woman. And that is a rate that is, you know, you can grow the labor force, grow your population, keep it relatively stable. But since then, it has plummeted, and it is at 1.6 children today. So what that means is there's almost 20% fewer babies born in 2024 than there were in 2007. That's about 600,000 or more children fewer that are being born. And the interesting thing is this decline started, like I said, about 17, 18 years ago, mm-hmm. which is right when these kids would be entering the labor force right now, right? Yeah. That's working age. So the problem is we don't have those, we're short of people. Okay. So that's what I've been talking about for years, but what is brought it back to the fore is a couple of things. One is the labor force participation rate is headed downward again. Mm-hmm. It's been trending downward roughly on that same time frame, but after the pandemic, it kind of jumped up a little bit, and we thought, all right, well, we'll get back to an upward growth on the labor force participation. But now, you know, over the past year or so, it's back headed downward again. So, you know, we've lost more than 1 million people since September, of last year that are even claiming to be interested in working, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw an interesting thing this morning that there are roughly, for every one male man who is claiming unemployment benefits, there are three times as many that are just not in the workforce, right? This is prime age, right? They're just like not working for whatever reason. So that's the background, right? And the point with the immigration policy is that the floods of immigration we had over the past few years, that kind of papered over our problem. But now that immigration is going to come to a pretty much a grinding halt, the labor issues will begin to put stress on rural America in particular.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say a great background on this, and kind of long stemming issues here, but you know, I look at rural America specifically and agriculture type jobs and more. And I would have to think that this might be a more acute problem in some of our key ag states, the Midwest, the Corn Belt, the Plains, et cetera. I mean, did you guys find any findings in terms of regions that might see more issues, Rob?
Yeah, well, it's definitely the problem is exacerbated in the low, naturally the low growth and low fertility regions of the country, which are, as you nailed it, is pretty much just the center of the U.S. from, you know, the Dakotas straight down to West Texas and through the Corn Belt and so on. Those are the areas of rural America that really haven't seen virtually any population growth. We've seen outflow of migration, not domestic migration of citizens moving to big cities and so forth for different opportunities. And you'll note that a lot of the rural colleges and universities are really struggling just because the kids are not there. So it's just a demographic thing with those rural regions that really struggle. But then it's also the pull, the pressure from other industries, notably healthcare, childcare, education, government, and so on, that is pulling those folks from the strata that would normally work in agriculture, right? So high school grads, you know, able-bodied folks in rural America, right? They're being sucked into other higher paying industries. So it's a twofold pressure from just underlying demographics and then competition from other growing industries that really need more labor that's putting a squeeze on U.S. agriculture and particularly in anything revolving around livestock, you know, dairy, cattle, poultry, so on.
Rob, as we look across the rest of the quarterly report, I know you guys break this down into so many different categories tied to the economy and agriculture and more. Any other big key trends, headlines that stood out to you across the rest of the report?
Well, we really struggle with this kind of longer term headwinds we're seeing in row crops, corn, wheat, soybeans, you know, and other grains. Too much global production. And as we see here in the U.S., population growth is coming to a stop. Well, we see that elsewhere. Essentially everywhere in the world, population has stopped growing except for Africa. So Africa is still growing. So that is one area we could look at. It's not historically been a great market for us. You know, the weather across the northern hemisphere has been fantastic. So that's put pressure on crop prices. Brazil continues to grow. Oil, which has been a supportive factor for U.S. agriculture, you know, as the connection between oil prices and biofuels and ethanol and bio-based diesel and so forth. That's historically been somewhat supportive, but oil prices have been kind of in the doldrums here the past 6 months. So all of this stuff just points to a general negative environment for crops. And I've been beating my head trying to figure out what to do about it, right? Just a series of kind of ad hoc federal support payments on an annual basis is probably not the best plan of action. It may not be sustainable given the budgetary constraints in D.C. and the political strife there. So it may not even be sustainable. But, you know, the biofuel policies that have come, you know, through the One Big Beautiful Bill and surrounding that, have been somewhat more supportive than I had anticipated. But, you know, still not a grand slam for biofuels, right? The Trump administration is not a huge proponent of green fuels and carbon reduction and so forth. So, you know, that is a slight silver lining. Could have been worse.
Yeah, no, very true. A lot of things to really unpack and take a look at. I know folks can read the full report at cobank.com under the Knowledge Exchange tab. We're up against the clock, but we do appreciate the conversation. Rob Fox, director of Cobank's Knowledge Exchange. Good to talk with you, Rob. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Anytime.
Coming up next, we'll talk trade with Kent Backus from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association right here on AOA.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
From blazing heat to pounding rain, your crops are facing it all. In-season aerial applications are the perfect chance to apply fungicides and stress-reducing products that help your crops stay resilient. And don't forget the hay. Haymaker delivers the nutrients your forage needs for high-quality, healthy growth. Apply after cuttings 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 and set your fields up for success. Questions? Visit Elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401. Elsevia, they're here to help.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wanekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 24 to 1712, September down 29 to 1750, October down 22 to 1809, November down 11 at 1819. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets as the strong demand in the countryside for feeder cattle helping to continue to support both live and feeder cattle markets as they once again reach new contract highs. Meanwhile, hog markets were lower due to lower cash prices and pork cutout values being lower. The weakness in the market fundamentals mixed with continued pressure in the contracts has continued to lead to a sell-off in hogs. August live cattle up $1.85 to $229.72. August feeder cattle up $2.67 to $336.20. August hogs down $1.27 to $107.25. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. USDA crop conditions were better than expected for corn and beans this week. The weather for the next 2 weeks shows no areas of significant issues in the weather, and that is helping to pressure the markets. Wheat markets mostly lower. The severe weather from Monday did not adversely affect the spring wheat crop. New crop corn down 3 to 4.11. New crop beans down 2 to 10.09 and a half. September wheat down 8 3/4 to 5.29 3/4.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA.
Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way, at MOA, mallofamerica.com.
AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, the news came out last week that Australia, after 20 years being absent from the U.S. beef market, they are now accepting U.S. beef once again. That's just one of many trade news headlines that we have been following and watching for several months now with the Trump administration. Here to tell us more about that, talk about trade across the board, he is Executive Director of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Kent Backus is with us. Kent, it's good to talk with you again, my friend. How are you?
Well, I am doing just fine. It's I'm happy to report some positive news on the trade front and making some big gains. And, you know, it all starts with Australia. That was big news coming out this last week. For 20 years, Australia denied access to U.S. beef, just citing biosecurity concerns. And we've gone through this long regulatory process. And really, this goes back to the cow that stole Christmas in 2003. And so we've been working to try to get access there. But, you know, Jesse, it was always Lucy pulling the football with these guys. Every time we would think we were there, they would make some other move or make some other request and set us back even further. So, you know, we were able to address this with the president. We called out the $29 billion trade deficit we have in beef alone with the Australians. The president took that, ran with it. This became a very it's still a big political football in Australia, but their position was really indefensible. It's not consistent with the science-based standards that they want to project globally. And so really this is Australia recognizing the health and the safety of our beef and cattle production here in the U.S. And it does, you know, it does kind of put to bed these old arguments that, you know, that there's something suspect about what we do here. This is an endorsement of U.S. Beef and cattle production.
Well, and you mentioned it, those biosecurity concerns, you know, going back to BSE in the early 2000s. And, you know, you look at the trade imbalance, I believe in 2024 alone, according to data from the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Australia shipped, I believe, around $1.7 billion in beef to the U.S. I mean, just a very one-way street for so long, Kent. And to your point, it's still an issue in Australia. There's a lot of chatter from folks there and in government, but at least getting things open back up, we can hopefully start this process of a two-way street once again.
Yeah, I think that's what it really comes down to is we know that the Australian market is much smaller than the U.S. market, so they are going to have that advantage. But this really is about mutual recognition and about them, you know, no longer being able to kind of use that negative angle on us in these third-party markets and saying, well, because some of their marketing has been that way in the past. And so, you know, this is long overdue. We are glad to see this move forward. We look forward to selling, you know, some delicious beef into Australia. We think we're going to do quite well down there, even though it is a saturated market, but they don't have a product like ours. So this is a really good opportunity for us.
Does it feel like it's going to be food service or at the grocery store? I mean, where could be the initial launching point, so to speak, for U.S. beef in Australia? Any thoughts on that?
I think our initial launching point for most markets is going to be in some of the, definitely steakhouses, definitely higher end restaurants where they're looking for a quality product. They're looking for that sweeter flavor that U.S. beef provides. You know, Australia's got they've got good products too, but it's not going to match what we have. So I think we have a wide variety of products to offer, but you know, I think the initial entry point's going to be in some of these restaurants, and then you know, as we start to build out and we start to know that market and become, you know, I would say more advanced there, I think we'll be able to sell an entire suite of products all across Australia.
Let's talk about other trade news, Kent. We obviously got the EU-US deal announcement over the weekend. We've seen Japan, other countries in the Pacific region. I mean, when you look across some of these frameworks and deals that have been announced, what stands out to you the most for the beef industry?
Well, I think if you look at each of the countries that are out there right now, the ones that have already come forward with a deal, you have to look at Indonesia, the Philippines, you know, resolving some of those issues. Indonesia is it's the largest halal market in the world. It's a population of 275 million people. We've had minimal access in that market. But, you know, they've agreed to eliminate 99% of their trade barriers. They're going to recognize USDA certifications. Once we're able to implement that, that's going to open up a lot of opportunities for us to diversify from the Chinese market. So we're waiting to see more of that. We really need to develop, you know, these other markets, because a lot of the places, a lot of the things that we're selling into China, we just can't sell anywhere else. But Indonesia creates another opportunity. The Philippines, we're looking at also seeing some developments there. That's been a good market for us to start, but really we need a stronger relationship. And then with Japan, you know, they've agreed to kind of resolve some trade issues with U.S. agriculture. For beef, we were really, you know, we saw the best results in the very first Japan-U.S. agreement that came out in the previous Trump administration. And so we haven't seen a lot that would show that we're making big gains off of this deal. But, you know, these are ongoing negotiations. So I think there's going to be more opportunities. We would like to see that tariff come down. Currently, we're phasing down to 9%, but we're only at 20% right now. We've got several more years to go. We want to be more competitive in that market. And we know the Japanese consumers love our products. So we're looking at more options there. But when you look at the EU, that was a big announcement that came out this weekend. You know, there's if you look at the potential risk that we would have in getting into a larger trade war with the Europeans, you know, we were looking at retaliation of about $110 billion on U.S. goods. You know, but the fact that they've been able to resolve that means that we're going to be able to continue to ship, you know, under certain restrictions into the European market. But the big thing that we've seen that come out of this is the commitment by both the European Union and the United States to address non-tariff barriers related to agriculture. And we don't have enough time in your show to go through all of the trade barriers that we face in the EU, but, you know, this is more than just hormones. This is deforestation regulation that they're trying to put in place. They've got animal welfare stuff they want to put on there. They've got restrictions on antimicrobials. I mean, they've got a whole bunch of other things that they want to hit us with. So the fact that, you know, we have a platform to address this and to continue to try to peel back those restrictions means that we're going to have more opportunities to export beef to the European Union.
Kent Backus with the NCBA joining us. We've got a couple of minutes here, Kent. Tell me a little bit about the Section 301 investigation with Brazil. What are some things that we need to pay attention to there?
So, look, we're very supportive of this. The Section 301 investigation it's really just an assessment of the unfair trade practices that Brazil places on U.S. exports. If you look at our access to the Brazilian market in the last 5 years, we've only been able to sell about $21 million worth of beef into that market. Now, it's a big country. Even though they have a lot of beef being produced there, it's not the same quality or kind of beef that we're really producing here. So you would think that we would be able to increase our sales into that market. But they put a lot of non-tariff trade barriers in place. So this is an opportunity to look at that trade imbalance. Brazil sent almost $4.5 billion worth of beef into the U.S. market in the last 5 years. Clearly, there are some things that need to be resolved. This 301 investigation is a good opportunity to do that. We're going to be submitting comments to the trade representative to lay that out. But the biggest thing is, you know, the president has also talked about a 50% tariff on the Brazilians. And that's not just a flat 50% tariff. You got to look at the math on this, because in reality, it is a 76% tariff on Brazilian beef. Right now, Brazil, they face a 36% tariff. 26.4 of that is due to the fact that they trade in the other country quota. Without getting too far in the weeds, we're going to see that increase to 76%. That's really what the president is proposing. We're also pushing for that to just be a starting point, because we really want to see the Brazilian products restricted altogether. They still haven't been able to demonstrate that they can provide an equivalent level of animal health and food safety. And so that is something that we are pursuing with USDA, is to suspend these guys and do a thorough audit and make sure that the beef that they're sending here does not pose a risk to U.S. consumers or U.S. cattle. Brazil has an abysmal track record of reporting animal diseases and food safety issues. We need to confirm that anything they're sending in here is not going to jeopardize the reputation and the consumer trust that we have built in the United States. We do not need people second-guessing their beef purchases because the Brazilians are sending stuff in here. We need to verify any source that's coming in. And so that's something we're going to continue to push.
Yeah, a lot of issues there that, to your point, need to be addressed. And we know there's plenty more trade news on the horizon, a lot of things we have to watch. And, of course, we're going to stay close with you and talk about it when it's beef-related. We're up against the clock. We could spend another hour, I think, and talking trade. But we'll have to let you go with that. Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Always good to talk with you, sir. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll get you back on the show again soon.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Once again, Kent Backus, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. A lot of trade news that we're going to have to pay attention to in the weeks and months ahead. Speaking of trade, we're going to talk about rice access to Japan from the U.S. We'll talk with folks at USA Rice next on AOA.
Hey, wouldn't it be great?
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-885-9700. 800-885-9700. That's 800-885-9700.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Under Warrior Project event, I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at WoundedWarriorProject.org/possible.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TCA3. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here today on AOA, let's talk about the U.S.-Japan trade deal that was recently announced, a very important one for U.S. rice access. Here to tell us more about this, she is the trade director for USA Rice. Kara Janovicius is with us. Kara, good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on the show. Hope all is well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jesse.
So give us some background here. As I know that President Trump highlighted rice in his announcement of this trade deal with Japan. Obviously, I think about the importance of having access for U.S. rice into the Japanese market and creating more opportunity there. Give us your thoughts and perspective on the importance of this trade deal.
Yeah, great. Well, first off, I think the fact that our president is actually talking about rice and market access in the same sentence is just critical and has really never been done before. So that alone is our own feat for us in the rice industry. But to also get a deal with Japan, one of the most protectionist countries for the commodity, you know, it's really huge for the industry. Japan, when they joined the World Trade Organization, they wanted to keep rice very protected, as do a lot of other countries, right? And so since about the 1990s, we've had some market access to Japan under what is considered a, you know, WTO quota. And that quota volume stays the same. It doesn't increase over time or anything like that. And so we've had this this level of market access in Japan since the 1990s. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time since then that we're actually going to be able to really further our U.S. opportunity to get U.S. rice exports into the Japanese market.
Well, and thinking about just what this means for rice growers here in the U.S., I mean, just more opportunity, I would say, for the U.S. rice industry as a whole that, to your point, really feels long overdue, Kara.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, Japan's WTO quota is limited. Like I said, it's about 680,000 metric tons of milled rice. And the United States, they don't have a United States specific volume that they purchase every year. So it does fluctuate. But the average from the late 1990s to last year, 2024, the average volume of U.S. rice in that share was about 326,000 metric tons. And so the fact that the president got this deal that says, you know, Japan will purchase 75% more than what they purchased in 2024, that's huge. And any of the rice that were to go outside of that quota, that were to be imported into Japan outside of that quota, they receive a 341 yen per kilo, which is about, in US dollars, it's about $2 per kilogram, or about $2,000 per metric ton. And interestingly enough, in 2024, Japan had a rice shortage. And so we estimate about 50,000 metric tons of U.S. rice going and being sold outside of that quota, paying that tariff, paying that $2,000 per metric ton. So it's long overdue, but it's also very much needed in the market today.
Kara, any other thoughts on the relationship between the U.S. and Japan when it comes to rice access? Anything else that you would add in terms of that relationship and this new trade deal, etc.?
Sure. I mean, Japan has been a consistent market for the U.S. Rice industry and is consistently one of our top markets, both by value but also by volume. And so it's a longstanding partner with us in the industry. We're eager to kind of continue to strengthen our relationships in Japan. And so we see this as a really big success for our industry and our relationships moving forward.
All right. Final minute or so. Any other countries, trade deal frameworks that have been announced, or anything that's still being worked on that you and the team there at USA Rice are watching closely? Any other thoughts before we close out the show today?
Sure. One other big market that we have our eyes on is the United Kingdom. And like many of us saw earlier in May, I believe, the president announced a deal with the UK to provide greater market access for U.S. agricultural commodities. And we anticipate rice being included in that. We think that this would be a big win for us as an industry as well. We are limited in the UK market right now by a very small quota. And unfortunately, when the UK was part of the EU, there was one single quota. And then unfortunately, when the UK left, they decreased the quota for the UK portion. And we've been hoping for a free trade agreement to gain better market access ever since. And so this is our chance, and we're really eager to kind of get more details and solidify those deals for the UK market.
Well, we do appreciate the insight and the time. I know folks can learn more. Just go online, usarice.com, for more information. With that, Trade Director for USA Rice, Kara Janavicius, thanks for joining us here on Agriculture of America. Kara, have a great week, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Great. Thank you, Jesse.
And with that, we are out of time here today on AOA. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to have a conversation with former USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Robert Bonney. We're going to learn about Infinite Outdoors, a way potentially for farmers to boost some income while protecting their land with founder Sam Seaton. We'll also hear about a new book called Tractor Wars with author Neil Dahlstrom. All that coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon. I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. PureTalk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month. But what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and PureTalk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. PureTalk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump giving Russian President Putin an ultimatum. 10 days to get a peace deal with Ukraine, telling reporters aboard Air Force One headed back to Washington.
And then, you know, we're going to...